Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's one of our favorite days here on G's Power Hour because we get to talk about food, or actually we get to talk about, you know, straightening up our game plan when it comes to our diet and stuff like that. So, or nutrition, okay? I've come to hear that diet, In some cases, might be a dirty word, but we're not talking about dieting. We're just talking about getting better in 2024. We're here with Tara Collingwood. Good morning. How are you doing, ma'am?
I am doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Getting better. So
good.
Great to have you back. Thanks so much for taking the time out.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Sure. My pleasure.
So, okay, before we get to what I really want to talk about, I want to talk about something that I came across that talked about, tailoring your diet plan individually. And I wanted to find out, I mean, I think basically that is kind of where we're coming to focus on and the realization of, and that is, everything does not necessarily work for everybody, and there's so many things, you know. There's the keto plan, there's the Mediterranean diet, there's this, that, and the other, some better than others, but a lot of it basically has to do with you, and everybody has a different makeup, you know, in terms of body type, ethnic background, where they've been brought up and raised and how they've eaten. And so, you know, things need to be tailored toward an individual. I just wanted to find out, though, how, I guess, realistic is that, and how labor intensive is that? And is that where we're gravitating toward?
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that you asked the question, because that's what I do for a living.
Okay.
So registered dietitian, nutritionist, you know, that's what we do, is we work with individuals to help them. You know, we look at the whole person, and you're right, every body, so every single body that comes to me is different. And, you know, mm-hmm. So we look at your health history, we look at your weight history, we look at your family history, we look at what medications are you on, what supplements are you taking, what is your exercise routine, what is your diet routine, what is your goal? You know, all those kinds of things go into this. And, you know, while we have, you know, supercomputers and AI and all kinds of stuff now, and there's lots of websites that you can get diet plans from, you know, they're really can't take a place of that individual person who's going to listen to you, too, because not only do, you know, you could plug all that kind of information into a computer, but I also get to know you and your personality and, you know, what works for you in terms of accountability and how quickly you want to, you know, move through things. And, you know, there's just so much to it. But you're right that, you know, not all diets are going to work for everybody. And, you know, it's really individual with what you're going to find works for you. And I may not know that the first time I meet with you either, because
right.
It takes a little trial and error, and our bodies change. So what worked for you when you were 25 may not work for you when you're 45 and 65. And,
sure.
You know, especially with health that's changing and activity levels that change and all of those kinds of things. So, and just our lives, you know, kids, no kids, like there's a lot that goes into you know, what you're able to do, how much time you have to devote to it, how, you know, are you going to cook? Are you going to, you know, rely on restaurant food? Are you going to get food delivered? Are you going to, you know, I mean, there's just so much. Ah, there's so much that goes into it. And, you know, the one size fits all definitely doesn't fit all. And while, you know, a standard kind of keto diet or Mediterranean diet, you know, people can definitely download that and try it and do it. And it may be absolutely what you need, and you might find success with that. But if you're not, you know, finding success with some of those things out there, it might be a good idea to get a little bit more personalized, looking at the whole person and what's going on, especially if there's complicated health history. That's what we're trained to do is, you know, I'm trained to work with any kind of, you know, of health history and taking that into account when I'm making my recommendations versus, you know, a website that may not know about your, you know, specific health history or genetic history. So yeah, I think that's where we are going is with the individual plans a little bit more. And I think AI is trying to do that more. And, you know, maybe it's better than it used to be in terms of personalizing for people. But, you know, there's always seeing a professional for that as well.
Then this is my question. This is going to be pretty much everybody's question that relies on insurance to cover a lot of the things that they need for health and wellness. Unless it's a dire situation, a lot of times, right, insurance may not cover the visit with the dietitian because is that correct or no?
Yeah, absolutely. It may or may not. So depending on what you have going on medically and depending on what kind of insurance you have, it may or may not. But insurance also doesn't cover, you know, MyFitnessPal. It doesn't cover, you know, a lot of things that we're spending money on to help us with losing weight. So, you know, I think it just depends on you know, where you want to spend those dollars. And a lot of times, you know, you can use a health savings account to pay for a visit with a dietitian. So that's pre-tax money that's put out into a savings account. So there's, you know, there are ways to still, or you might get partial reimbursement. So I always give, you know, a receipt and then they can submit that to their insurance and see if, you know, at least they'll get partial reimbursement.
And the reason I brought that up is because it seems like insurance is more willing to cover a pill versus a plan. You know what I mean? They'll cover what, and I think what needs to happen, is a push to say, okay, you're going to pay for my annual physical. Could not a dietary consultation or nutritional consultation be considered as part of that annual physical or whatever to, you know, some sort of analysis to make sure that I'm on the right track every year so that you, as the insurance company, don't have to spend on costly medication when you know, things go awry later on.
Right. Right. And that makes sense to you and me. But as we know, insurance companies don't always make sense. And, you know, they are cracking down a lot more on what they're covering in terms of medications, especially some of the more expensive medications. You really have to jump through hoops to get it approved. You know, doctor has to write certain notes and you have to prove certain things. You know, so which is understandable. I mean, there's medications out there that are $1,000 a month. And so, you know, the insurance company wants to make sure that, you know, just because your doctor's writing for it doesn't necessarily mean that they think you should be able to get it. And so you have to prove, like my son's on growth hormone. So we had to jump through lots of hoops in order to make sure he failed a lot of different blood tests and, you know, growth. We had to wait and make sure he wasn't growing and all this stuff before they would approve it because it's like $50,000 a year for growth hormone. Well, he failed all those tests. And he wasn't growing, and he indeed did need it. And so finally, after like 6 months, the insurance company did approve it. So, you know, I get it. I get that insurance companies need to do that. But it is a little frustrating that, you know, they are maybe more likely to approve a medication than they are just going to, you know, visit a therapist or visit a dietitian or physical therapy or something like that. Like sometimes these modalities, you know, aren't approved even though we want to, you know, we want to go ahead and do that. So you just have to decide, is it worth it to go? I've paid out of pocket for physical therapy before because I wanted to, you know, to make sure and learn, you know, the exercises that were going to be right for that condition and all that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, lots of people pay out of pocket for personal trainers. You know, that's not going to be reimbursed by your insurance, but you make that decision that this is going to be the best thing for my health and for me learning what to do for my health. And so, you know, that's how we decide to spend that discretionary, you know, health money.
I thought it was interesting, just kind of going to what we're talking about in terms of drugs and stuff like that. I just wanted to throw this out there real quick. I thought it was interesting. I saw a story this morning, and I see the story online. I'm going to post it. There's the weight loss drug maker, Eli Lilly, is putting out an mm-hmm. ad. It started, I think, yesterday, but it's for this weekend for the Oscars, about not using the drugs for vanity purposes, you know, just – you know, to look good, you know, because one of the problems is that so many people are trying to do the quick and easy and get the drugs,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you say, and probably some of them are paying, they're willing to pay it out of pocket, you know.
Oh, yeah, $1,000 a month.
Right, that they're having trouble keeping up with
mm-hmm.
The supply, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, this is where, you know, basically all the old tried and true methods are going to be the work, the changing of the of what you're eating, the changing of the amount of what you're eating, and keeping physically fit by some sort of exercise, even if it's just walking, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I saw, with that being said, in terms of changing what we're eating, I wanted to ask you, we're changing the clocks. We're springing forward while we're doing this before spring so early. I have no idea. But this weekend is when, this Saturday night before you go to bed, is when you have to change your clocks. You have to spring forward. You have to jump ahead. The time is changing. It is also coming up on the time when a lot of people do spring cleaning. Let's talk a little bit about spring cleaning our diet, which I guess you could say we're relaunching the New Year's resolution. We're going to do some spring mm-hmm. cleaning. And that might mean going into the pantry and the refrigerator and freezer and say, maybe I'd have too much of this or not enough of this or whatever. So is there a way that we can spring clean our refrigerators and freezers and pantries?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't let me forget, I want to go back to the whole daylight savings thing because there's actually health
risks. Oh, okay, well, let's do that first.
You want to do that first? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So believe it or not, there is, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but there is an increased risk of accidents and heart attacks. There's more heart attacks and accidents that happen in the days, I think it's 3 days following the spring daylight savings when we lose the hour, not when we gain the hour. There's actually fewer in the fall and there's more in the spring because of that loss of the hour. And it proves how our bodies are so dependent on sleep. And you think, really, 1 hour? I'm telling you, look it up, Google it. Statistics on, you know, increased risk of heart attack and accidents because people are losing that hour of sleep in the, mm-hmm. like I said, I think it's 2 to 3 days afterwards. So, you know, what can we do? It's Friday right now, if you're listening to this live. So we have tonight that we can try to, you know, adjust about our bedtime just by 15 minutes. And then tomorrow night, adjust our bedtime maybe by 15 minutes, you know, earlier because mm-hmm. you know, you're going to lose that hour. And then same thing, you know, on Sunday night, Monday night, trying to adjust your bedtime just by 15 minutes rather than taking the entire hour all at one time. Like, oh, Sunday night, I'm just going to bed at my normal time, but it's an hour earlier, hour later than it normally really is, you know, kind of thing. And so so that can actually, you know, you should have started, but since we can't, go back in time. But for future, you know, this weekend is actually you know, again, something that we should circle and highlight on our calendar as, you know what, I gotta train. I gotta train for that weekend. I gotta start, you know, the weekend before or early in the week with, you know, adjusting my bedtime by, you know, what's recommended really is 15-minute increments anytime you're trying to adjust your bedtime. So, you know, think for next year, I'm going to try to adjust my bedtime for 15 minutes. But again, we don't have to, you know, we still can do something about it this year and, and, you know, still adjust even after the fact. So you get yourself to bed earlier, on the nights following, you know, clock time earlier because your body clock is, you know, still off. So just be aware, be extra careful, you know, crossing the road, extra careful when you're driving, like accident-wise, you know, and then also, you know, heart disease risk. Don't do anything crazy or scary this weekend. it's really interesting that that there is actually increased risk just because of the stupid time change.
Yeah, and I can usually tell, you know, my body, and I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, I'll be like, why am I so sleepy, you know, so early, or why am I so, you know, why am I like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, earlier than usual, you know, or something like that, or why am I sluggish trying to get up? Usually about a month ahead of time, I could start feeling it. You know, and then I have to remind myself, okay, this is what's about to happen. So
a month would be great. Yeah, so don't be surprised if you're more tired than usual, of course, early next week. And take care of yourself. You know, go to bed if you're tired. Don't try to stay up and watch Netflix. You know, like, go to bed, get that sleep, you know, maybe sleep in. And I usually don't tell people to skip a workout, but, you know, maybe sleep in and skip that workout. That allows you to get that little bit extra sleep, because, you know, that sleep really does affect every single cell in our bodies.
Or a shorter workout, whatever it takes. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you have to just do a little bit, you know, on one side and a little more on the other side, you know. So,
exactly.
But we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Tara Collingwood, the Diet Diva. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're here with the Diet Diva, Tara Collingwood. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. And like I said, again, reminding you to spring forward, change your clocks on Saturday night. And like Tara recommended, go to bed a little bit earlier, you know, so you don't feel it so bad in the morning. But anyway, because we're springing ahead, we want to talk a little bit about springing ahead with the cleaning. And what we're talking about is maybe doing a little spring cleaning of that diet by maybe looking at what's in your refrigerator or freezer or pantry. So how do we get started on this, Tara?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a couple of different definitions of cleaning. So we're literally calling it like cleaning with, you know, some Lysol wipes and some, you know, vinegar or whatever. But we're also talking about just cleaning out, you know, maybe some of the less nutritious food, or also, you know, dates. food that may be unsafe because it's past its, you know, sell-by. Well, sell-by date isn't as much, but definitely expiration date. But if it's much past the sell-by date, then you want to kind of, you know, make sure that you're cleaning out. So I would rather you throw it away. If, you know, when in doubt, throw it out is the saying. And so this is a good time to kind of, you know, empty everything out of that pantry, put it out on the table, look at dates, wipe down the shelves, you know, all of those kinds of things I think is a great time. And then also, you know, do that defrost to the freezer. I know my freezer has some growth around the inside of like the ice chunks, you know, it could stand a little defrost. And then same thing, you know, looking at the expiration dates, looking for major freezer burn, and just, you know, throw it out when it looks like it's a little bit, you know, unsafe, or just it's going to be tasty. I mean, a lot of times freezer burn isn't necessarily unsafe, but it's just not going to taste very good when it has that freezer burn on it. And then, of course, same thing with the refrigerator. And looking at, you know, those sell-by and expiration dates of the yogurts and the cheese and, you know, all of those kinds of things and just throw out. And it just feels so good to wipe the shelves down for a change. You know, they get all those crumbs and spills and all kinds of things. And it's like, ugh. And we just don't do it very often. So, you know, taking a couple hours on a weekend to just empty everything out, get the whole family involved. I'm sure that's what my teenagers want to do. But, you know, cleaning it out. And then you can see what you've got, too. Like, wow, I have 3 or 8 or whatever cans of stewed tomatoes. Like, maybe I should make chili, you know. So you can kind of, you know, some of that stuff gets pushed to the back of the pantry, and you forget what you all have in there. And, you know, and so that can kind of maybe dictate what might be on the menu for next week when you're looking at some of these things that are close to that expiration date and, or maybe overstock and you maybe, you know, decide to use up some of those things. And then, of course, restocking and saying, okay, what do I want to, you know, stock into the pantry and the freezer for some of those meals coming up, you know, in the next week or two.
But also, too, isn't it a good time to say, why was that in there so long? Did I make a dietary change that I shouldn't have made? You know, it might be saying, okay, the reason that was in there so long because I decided, let's say, I'm not eating as much dairy anymore, you know. So maybe, you know, the yogurt that went past its expiration date was in there because either I've decided not to eat yogurt anymore or I've made a change from just regular yogurt to Greek yogurt or vice versa, something like that. So maybe it's a good time to remind us, you know, why are the things staying in there so long in the first place, you know, why there's not regular rotation of food in and out of the refrigerator.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, if you are trying to start a new eating plan, you know, there's no better time than the present. It doesn't have to be a holiday or the first of the year or anything like that. But, you know, you might go, okay, you know, what do I want? What's this new eating plan going to entail? And what do I need to stock? What do I need to get rid of? You know, stale potato chips, I'm throwing those away, you know, those kinds of things. I think it's a good time to, you know, to start, like you said, introspective, like, huh, why is this even in here? I haven't eaten this in a long time. And, you know, a mental note, don't, you know, and that's why I say involve the family, because it's not unless you live alone, of course, but, you know, if there's things that other people like, oh, I didn't know that was in there, you know, they may not have known it was in there, but they love that. And so, okay, let's use it up. So asking them too, you know, what do you want stocked? What do you want, you know, to have here that we can eat on a regular basis for snacks or for, you know, meals coming up or whatever? You know, I think that's a good plan too, is to just kind of get the family involved.
And it may be also a good time to just, let's say, organize your refrigerator or freezer or pantry in a way that makes sense. For example, you know, the maybe instead of having stuff just kind of willy-nilly in different places, like put
in certain areas.
Yeah.
Okay, these are the things that are going to be rotated in and out more that I need to keep track of, more like the perishable items, like the vegetables or salad, you know, items or whatever, versus things that have a longer shelf life, you know, where you don't have to check them as often, you know.
Did
and,
my
and
husband
then watch.
Put you up to saying that?
No, what? What?
It drives him crazy. He's like, you just put stuff randomly in the refrigerator. It's like, you know, willy-nilly, where everything goes in the refrigerator. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm guilty as charged. So I'm going to take your advice, G. And try to organize that refrigerator a little bit better.
Well, you know, because, and, you know, I say that too because, yes, that's, sometimes stuff gets, I mean, not intentionally. I mean, this is a work in progress for me as well. But I found that stuff gets just pushed to the new stuff comes in when you do the shopping. And you just sit it up there, you know.
Yep.
You may be, maybe if you, you know, let's say bought some milk because the other milk is going bad, don't put the new milk in the front, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, use up the already opened milk first or whatever, something like that, and just kind of rotate it out. Yeah, it requires more work. But, like, for example, I have to tell my husband, it's like, well, I didn't know it was in there. I'm like, everything can't be in the front. You
right.
know, otherwise, what do you do with the bag? Okay. Otherwise, you wouldn't
well,
need
in
a,
these days,
a refrigerator
I feel like,
that big.
Well, and the refrigerators have all these, like, little secret compartments, too. You know, they've got a drawer here and a drawer there. And if you don't remember to, like, check that drawer, you forget, you know, that the, oh, well, yeah, I put the yogurts in that drawer, and now they've been in there for 3 weeks, and oops.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, and so the you know, just whenever you're doing your shopping, it's a matter of, okay, what's about to expire soon? Let's use this for today's meal or this week's meal first before, you know, going to the next thing, you know.
Right,
because
right.
The thing is, too, you reduce your grocery bill the less that you waste. That's the other
exactly.
thing, too. So it's a matter of, number one, not, you know, not eating bad or expired food or leaving stuff in there to infect other things. But also it's mm-hmm. a matter of, you know, saving a few dollars here or there by not having to throw away so much, you know, all the
yep.
time. So
yeah, absolutely. But if it does look bad, throw it out. But then learn
yeah,
from that.
Exactly.
You know, oh, I'm not going to do that again. You know, I'm not going to leave it in there as long and wait until it gets all, you know, nasty or you know, forget that it was in there. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then if you are one of those people that open up the refrigerator and then the stand and just stare, you know,
uh-huh.
just because, you know, we've all done it. We have all done it. But if you're one of those people that, you know, at least, you know, pull something out and take a look at it, you know, make yourself useful. While you're standing there
yep.
to see
yep.
whether or not it really, if you can't figure out something to eat, maybe some of the things that you're looking at don't really belong in your refrigerator. Just
exactly.
go ahead and pull it out.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So
love it.
So, okay. One of the things is, and I'm going to kind of revisit this whole cleaning out thing, but one of the things is that, this weather is changing. Boy, yesterday I was like, welcome back, Florida. I can't remember the last time it was that hot, you know.
Yeah,
it's been
yeah.
months, you know.
I think they did say in the news that it was the hottest day since November. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could feel it. But so with that being said, should we change our diet or eating or cooking habits as we come upon spring and summer? You know, I mean, are there things that should be left for fall and winter in terms of what we eat? Or are there, you know, should, you know, and especially a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't want to cook it so hard. So
mm-hmm.
when we're, let's say, restocking our refrigerators, for example, once we clean
mm-hmm.
them out, are there things that we could put in that would be, let's say, things that don't have to be cooked, or things, nutritional things that we can eat, even snacks that we can, you know,
yeah.
kind of grab and go, or at least prep so that we can grab and go, you know, with them during the week?
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good question. Nutritionally, you know, I mean, the only thing that I would say is like kind of bye-bye season, like asparagus is good in the spring. It's, you know, in season. And, you know, there's different seasons of kind of those fruits and vegetables. But from a, you know, hot versus cold, I think that's more of a personal preference. Like, oh, I just don't like to, you know, eat stews and chili and all that kind of stuff when it's so hot out. But one of the other things is, you know, start in that oven. The oven heats up the house, or at least it heats up the kitchen and surrounding,
exactly,
you know, room or two. And so, you know, if you don't want that oven on, then, yeah, planning meals around not needing to, you know, to bake something. And that's where air fryers have become so popular because, you know, people tell me all the time, they're like, I never turn my oven on anymore because I'm just, you know, sticking stuff in the air fryer. So that can be a good thing where, you know, you're not, and, you know, of course it takes a lot of energy to heat that oven up and then it takes a while for it to cool down. And like I said, it does heat up the house, especially, you know, that kitchen area. And when you're working in there and that oven's on, it gets real hot. So, and then takes more air conditioning to cool the house down, all of that. So I think that's probably the biggest one that I would say is the change for when the weather gets nicer is I am less motivated to literally, you know, turn that oven on because of just the heat. I still like to eat hot food, but I don't necessarily want to do it in the oven. I might do it in the skillet instead or the air fryer instead of, you know, committing to that huge oven radiating heat into the, you know, the surrounding rooms. So, you know, so that's what I would say is just, you know, plan around that. And if there's something you can do in the air fryer instead, that's definitely not going to emit as much heat into the house. But there is actually science around cold foods versus hot foods and satiety and satisfaction and people feeling like they, you know, actually ate a meal when they have hot food versus cold food, which is kind of interesting. You know, I think a lot of us eat cold for breakfast, eat cold for lunch if you do, you know, just like a cold sandwich or salads or something like that. But very, very few people will just have a cold dinner, you know. So it's just sort of how we're, you know, how our society is, that we're used to eating those hot foods in the evening, but maybe cold foods earlier. But there is research that shows that, you know, the hot foods do kind of satiate a little bit more. They make you feel they're more comfort food type things. You know, so if you're going to commit to no oven, then, okay, how am I going to heat up these foods so that I can, you know, kind of feel that satiation and feel like I'm getting a full, you know, meal that's satisfying me, not just, you know, physically, but kind of emotionally too.
There's another option too that I want to bring up when we come back. We're here with Tara Collingwood, the Diet Diva. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Remember, please, tomorrow night, to spring forward, turn your clocks forward because they're changing the time again. And, you know, like Tara suggested, is to, you know, maybe jump in bed just a few minutes, like 15 minutes early. That's not going to kill you, you know. And if you're worried about missing the show, there is always your DVR or on demand. So, you know, no excuses there. We're back with Tara Calling with the Diet Diva. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. Now, the thing that I noticed, Tara, is everybody is like, you know, how can we get it done? How do we get it done quick, you know? The thing is, too, there's always the crock pot option, you know?
Yeah, that's a good one. That doesn't heat up the kitchen. yet gives you a nice, satisfying, comfort food type of meal. So, yeah, I forget about the crock pot. I don't use it very often. So, that's a really good suggestion.
Because, like, for example, we were talking about people, and I think one of the things is people get into habits and, you know, having to have that hot meal. And that's all well and good. But if you do, let's say, a variety of soups or stews or whatever in the crock pot, and then so you have it where you can pull it out later, heat it in your microwave real quick or whatever, and you can have something hot. But at the same time, this is a good way to make those compotes, you know, and all of the, you know, things that are cool, especially when it gets hot or hotter, you know. It maybe it's something that nice to have, you know, that's cold that'll cool you down when the temperatures go up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, usually crock pot, you get some leftovers too. You know, it's not usually just that one meal, of course, depending on how big your family is. But that's
right.
What I love about, you know, throwing stuff. And you throw it in there and forget about it for many hours. And then, boom, you come home and, ooh, it smells so good.
Right.
And you got dinner at the lift of a lid.
Right. Or it depends on, how long it takes that item to cook or everything, anything. But, you know, you could, let's say, have the stuff, you know, cut up and prepped and stuff. You come home from work, you throw it in the crock pot, and maybe you have something else for dinner, but the stuff that's in the crock pot can be cooking while you're watching television or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. And you use that for lunches or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, do you have, let's say, a favorite that you say it's been a while that you've done the crock pot, but do you have a favorite that you've done in the crock pot?
Kind of just like the shredded chicken type stuff. I've done pot roasts in there before. I've done, or like a beef stew kind of a thing. I've done, you know, soups, just vegetable soups and things like that. And, you know, chilies, things like that. So, yeah, that's kind of what I've used them for. How about you?
Right. I mean, pretty much the same thing. Like I've done the, like, lentils. I love lentils, you know, and I'll do lentils and smoked turkey, something like that. And we'll put it in there. So I kind of lean towards something like that, you know, and then, you know, black beans. I've done that in there before with onions and stuff like that. So, that's kind of where I haven't done it in a while, but that's probably where I'm leaning back toward too, because, you know, it's like, okay, just get the stuff done, you know, and then you put it in containers and put it away, and then all you got to do is like, oh, yeah, I made some of that. I need to go back and get that because I don't feel like cooking tonight.
Exactly. Exactly. I love leftovers. And my, one of my teenagers, my husband is a very good leftover eater, so that's helpful.
Okay, but this is the thing. How do they know it's leftovers, right?
Oh, they know. They know.
Throw it in a pot. Say, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little savvy.
It depends.
Sometimes a little bit too much.
Yeah, if you can repurpose it into a different dish, then, you know, they wouldn't know that chicken was left over. But, you know, if it's kind of the same thing reheated,
maybe
I need to be more savvy with them.
Right. It's like, you know, don't have it again the next day. Maybe, you know, a few weeks down the road, it's like, you know, I like that so much. I think I wanted to do it again. So,
Pull it
a few weeks down the road. So anyway, but yeah, I was thinking also too, and so answer a question for me, because, you know, I talked about the pantry, and we do kind of need to go through our pantry every now and then. But my question is, if you're eating fresher, do you need to stock the pantry as much? Because, I mean, for example, let me just say pasta, which I truly, truly love, but I truly, truly am trying to get away from. White rice is another one of those things, you know, trying to lean more toward brown rice. So what I want to know is, if we are eating less and less of those types of foods, what types of things should we actually be putting in our pantry?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So, you know, I think some of those staples, like you said, the rice, the pasta, that kind of stuff, canned beans, so your black beans, your, you know, that kind of stuff. And then also just the canned vegetables. So I always have like some canned corn. I have some stewed tomatoes. I have, you know, some of those kinds in the pantry. And then I kind of just have overstock of like the extra ketchup, the extra, you know, things that you kind of go through on a regular basis, and you want to have the backup, because then, you know, the night when you want the ketchup and it's gone and everyone's like, what? We're out of ketchup, you know, kind of a thing. So, but that's tricky. Like we talked about with, you don't want to have too much stock. That's the other thing my husband gets on me for. He's like, you're like planning for, you know, an apocalypse. Like, why do you have so much stuff in the pantry? I'm like, you'll thank me when we run out of ketchup and I have an extra one.
Right, exactly.
So,
I understand him, but I understand you. My mom was one of those type of people that, the pantry was always full, because you're like, you'll never come to her house and not have something to eat. There's always going to be something, you know, to prepare or already be prepared, because, you know, she just believed in that. My mom grew up, I guess, Depression era. She was born in 1923. So, you know, she remembers, you know, lean times, but she also remembered that she would talk about, even strangers would, you know, they'd be sitting on the porch, strangers would pass by and ask for stuff to eat. And, you know, she said whatever they had, even though it wasn't that much, they would always share it with someone, you know.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Yeah. So when, you know, she got, you know, able to do better, it was always her intent. It's like, you know, you can always have a meal. I freely took advantage of that when I was in college, because I went to college like about an hour and a half down the road from home. So I would bring up friends home. Mom, what you got to eat?
What you got? Well, and that, you know, just like you're saying, the pasta, you need the sauce. You need the, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can always have a meal when you know that you have something in the pantry.
Yeah, so, you know, it was like an hour and a half, and a friend of mine had a car. We'd go home to my house. My mom says, if it's not cooked, you all can go in there and cook it, you know. But she always was like that. Yeah, she was always like that. She was not going to let anybody go hungry on her watch. You know?
Yeah, that's good. Oh, the other one thing I just thought of, too, is like some canned soups. So, you know, that's always a good staple to have. You know, oh, I don't feel like cooking tonight. You know what? Let's just open a can of soup and a salad and, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
So, you know, or a sandwich, do tomato soup and grilled cheese. Or, you know, I mean, it's just always nice to have some of those kinds of things. And then extra cereal, you know, especially if you've got kids and you're going through a lot of cereal, you know, it's nice to have a couple extra boxes in there. Or, you know, I mean, there's just always some of that either backup or, you know, but again, I think I am guilty of getting too much of it, having too much of an overstock, and then it's going bad, and then you throw it away because now it's like, oh, that's from 2021. Oops. Let me throw that can away.
I hate to admit that, because
I was
for some reason cleaning my pantry one day, and I'm like, I guess it was got pushed way in the back, and I found something in the pantry from 2017. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so bad. Ooh. Oh, my God. So I'm like, immediately, I couldn't get it to the garbage fast enough. You know?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to all of us. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take our final break, and please feel free to call and ask your questions of Tara Collingwood, the Diet Diva. The number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. We'll be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I'm your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Happy Friday. Hope you all have a wonderful and safe and enjoyable weekend lined up with family and friends. And don't forget, hydrate. It's, you know, gotten warmer out there, but, you know, hydrate. And, you know, go, like I said, make sure you spring forward Saturday night before you go to bed with your clocks, you know, set them. And we're back with Tara Collingwood, the Diet Diva. The number is 516-387-1944. So what other tips do you have for us as spring approaches?
Yeah, I think, you know, we here in Florida, it's, you know, we're always beach ready. Or we should be, because you can go to the beach in the middle of the winter too. But just thinking about, you know, what kind of activities am I going to want to do, you know, now that the weather is getting a little bit of warmer, you know, maybe there's some, you know, some pickleball that you want to do. Maybe there is going to the beach, you know, that kind of stuff. And of course, as the weather starts getting warmer, thinking about hydration. And it's really crazy how quickly we can dehydrate in this heat, especially if you're a heavy sweater. And so, you know, hydrating before you're going to go out, during, and after you're doing any exercise that is producing quite a bit of sweat is going to be really, really important. You know, water is, of course, going to be the best thing. But if you are a heavy sweater, maybe some of those electrolyte drinks that have some extra sodium and other electrolytes in them for during that exercise is a good idea as well. So, you know, just thinking about, okay, now that the weather's getting warmer, you know, what else should I consider? And really hydration is going to be one of those big ones.
I wanted to go back to something else that you were talking about in terms of, you know, having the canned goods and everything. And I wanted to talk about frozen vegetables and fruit and vegetables, flash freezing and stuff like that, which I understand that's supposed to be really good in terms of making sure, you know, sure that you have, I guess, if you don't, can't, let's say, have your own garden and don't have fresh vegetables, then having the frozen vegetables is kind of the next best thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So frozen, I'm a huge fan of, because they do, they flash freeze. So that means that they're kind of flashing them into some boiling water to seal in the flavor, to seal in the freshness, to seal in the nutrients, and then, you know, stick it in the freezer. And so so that, you know, makes it so easy for you to just take it out and steam it, put it in the microwave, throw it into a dish, you know, whatever that is. And, of course, there's certain foods, certain vegetables and fruits that freeze better than others. You know, fruit, I pretty much just use those for smoothies. I mean, you could use it like in your, mm-hmm. you know, some frozen blueberries in your oatmeal, or, you know, in a quick bread or something like that. But you know, in general, I'm just using frozen fruit for smoothies. I mean, I guess maybe in a pie or something too, but the fresh vegetables, you know, I find very, very convenient. I just used some frozen corn last night. Mm-hmm. You know, frozen, you know, it's just so easy to be able to pull those out. The frozen broccoli, I feel like, could pass for fresh a lot of times, depending on how you're cooking it. You know, frozen spinach is another one. You know, it wilts down when it's fresh anyway, and so you have the frozen spinach, especially if you're making like a spinach dip or something like that. You know, I'll use the frozen spinach. So, yeah, I think, you know, from a nutritional perspective, it really does steal in a lot of that flavor. And they're picked at their peak of ripeness because they know that they're going to be frozen. So they know they don't need a long shelf life. So they don't, you know, a lot of our fresh produce is actually picked before it's ready. And then it comes
right,
when
exactly.
When it's on the shelf. And when it's ripening on the shelf, it's not getting extra nutrients. The longer it hangs mm-hmm. on the tree, the vine, the whatever, it's getting more nutrients. And so when you get the frozen, even the canned, you know, they're harvesting it knowing that this is just going to be like, boom, you know, flash frozen or, you know, or put into a can very quickly. And so we can harvest it when it's at that peak of flavor, of ripeness, of nutritional value. And so actually frozen and canned can actually be more nutritious than fresh sometimes. So, you know, I always tell people don't shy away from the fresh and the can or the frozen and the canned, because, you know, of course canned, they're going to add a little bit of sodium to it. You can get lower sodium varieties. You know, sometimes the canned fruit is going to have some, you know, sugar added. So with canned, you kind of maybe have a little bit more additives that you have to be careful of. But frozen, I mean, really, they just freeze it. There's not really mm-hmm. sugar or salt most of the time, of course, unless they're adding a cheese sauce or something like that. But, you know, they are really nutritious.
So what if you, let's say, do grow your own? Like, this is a great time to get out and garden
yep.
and something like that. And what if you do grow your own and you want to, let's say, if you don't have anybody to share it with, you have a little bit too much, can you do your own, like, is there a method to do your own flash freezing or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up doing that. We had a chest freezer in the basement, and it was full of frozen stuff from our garden. So we would do spinach and broccoli and asparagus and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, absolutely, you can do that. You can do it in, you know, flash and then put it into, like, we had those, we had little baggies, and then we would put like the white box around it that you could get that kept it, you know, kind of more preserved. But of
mm-hmm.
course you can do mason jars if you want to do, you know, canning. You can do the mason jars, and that creates a nice seal on there. You know, that's the thing with canning, is if it's going to be at room temperature, you have to make sure that it has a tight seal on it, because the air getting in there is what causes the bacteria to grow. So, you know, there's definitely a ton of, you know, YouTube channels and websites that can teach you how to, you know, freeze and can your own
mm-hmm.
produce. Definitely not an expert, but we used to do it all the time when I was a kid. We had a huge garden, and so yeah, I just remember doing that with the beans. I remember sitting in the back, you know, cutting off the ends of those beans so that we could flash boil them and then, you know, put them in the freezer. So yeah, absolutely. And you know, people love to do the tomatoes. You know, those are
mm-hmm.
a great one to put into the mason jars and have the, you know, the stewed tomatoes.
I am probably going to have to take some time out to watch some YouTube videos, because one of the nurseries, local nurseries, Lucas Nursery, a lot of times will have, like,
yeah.
the Georgia peach truck will come down, and I'll, you know, get a box of the Georgia peaches. And I usually end up sharing some of my peaches with my friends and neighbors, you know, and family, you know, but, you know, and then I'll usually end up making a peach cobbler and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, there's only so much I could do with all these peaches.
Yeah. Peach jam, peach,
you know,
cobbler, peach.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, peaches on the waffles, peaches on the pancakes, you know, stuff like that. But so, yeah, I think I'm going to probably, you know, binge watch some YouTube videos so I can get a handle
on
how to do the preserving. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah. Get some mason jars. You could definitely do some stewed peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And those would be delicious. And you can definitely do it in a lower sugar, you know, lower sugar way. And you can also freeze those peaches and then use those
mm-hmm.
again for a cobbler, a pie, or even in smoothies.
In a smoothie,
and you
yeah.
don't need to add any sugar when you freeze them.
Yeah. Cause 'tis the season for a good smoothie. I love smoothies all the time though. So
yeah, me too.
Now, the other thing is, I know we got to go soon, but wanted to talk about, my understanding is, you know, we always usually think about dinner being the heavier meal. But my understanding is now that that philosophy is kind of changing up, that basically breakfast or lunch should be probably your heavier meal with, you know, probably the breakfast, if not lunch, having enough protein where you're not getting real hungry during the day. So if that is switching, what do you eat for dinner that will keep you from, let's say, getting hungry during the night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can do the same things you're doing for dinner, but just eat less of them. You know, I think most of us just, yeah, it's, you know, it's how we're socialized and it's how our society has been, that we're used to just coming home and having this big old dinner, whether it's out or home or whatever. You know, we tend to have our largest meal at dinner. And what I tell people is try to have your largest meal near when your largest expenditure is. So think about supply and demand. You know, supply is food, demand is energy out. And so I'm a morning exerciser. So my breakfast tends to be fairly big. You know, I can't just live on a little yogurt for the morning because I have just expended a whole bunch of energy and, you know, I'm just like burning through it. And so, you know, look at, you know, when are you exercising? When are you expending the most amount of calories, and try to have your biggest meal around that time, because that's when your body actually needs it and isn't as likely to store it either, you know, and of course storage is going to be as fat. So, you know, you can still do, you know, your meat and potato type of dinner, you know, your hot dinner, but maybe just make a little less or save some of it for, you know, meal prep for lunch the next day. You know, or you can do non-traditional, you know, you can switch it up and have, you know, avocado toast with eggs for dinner. You could have, you know, an omelet for dinner. You know, you could kind of do that kind of thing. You could do a salad for dinner instead of a salad at lunch if you want to do that kind of hot, you know, heavier meal at lunch. So, you know, it's really open season as to, you know, what works best for you and your family, and what you feel like. You know, there's times when, you know, the other night my husband and I went to hot yoga, and by the time we got home, it was, you know, 7 o'clock, and we looked at each other. We're like, I don't feel like cooking. I don't feel like anything hot, because we just went to hot yoga. So we sat there and I had cottage cheese and fruit and a little flax sprinkled on top. He had yogurt and fruit. And, you know, so it was like, that was dinner, because that's what we felt like at that moment. And so, you know, there, it just depends on kind of what you're, you know, what you're feeling like, but absolutely you can still do, you know, the meat, vegetable, you know, starch, whatever, but maybe just watch the portion of it a little bit more.
I confessed to my husband not too long ago, I'm kind of like the Hobbits and Lord of the Rings. I had second breakfast, and the reason is because, like you said, about exercising in the morning. So, you know, it's like, okay, I get up and I might, you know, it's like, okay, I need just to nibble on a little something, and then I, you know, go to the gym. But when I come back, it's like, I need breakfast, okay?
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely. When you're exercising in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so usually when I come back from that, you know, I'm having actual breakfast usually. So, yeah, usually a little something to nibble on beforehand, early, and then afterwards I actually eat breakfast, so. How can people get in contact with you, Tara?
Yeah, so my website is dietdiva.net. And on social, I'm at Diet Diva Tara. So that's probably the easiest way.
Well, thank you so much. And you and your family have a wonderful week, and appreciate you taking the time again. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure, as always.
And thank you so much. Also, just remember, you know, change your clock tomorrow night. And then next week, by the way, we will be having Senator Geraldine Thompson on Thursday. She's one of our guests next week. Hopefully, I think we're having Friday in the Garden next Friday. And I think, and I got to check and confirm, Dr. Taiwan Tillman will be with us on Wednesday, but we'll have more information on Monday. So thank you for taking the time and listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. Oh, by the way, you can always leave me a message on the G's Power Hour Facebook page if you have subjects that you want to address or if you want to advertise. Thank you. Be well. Be safe. Be blessed. Hug a loved one. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.